Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton. Before we get into Turnbuckle Trash, I thought it would take time to recognize the death of two legendary performers that were in the ring, but if they did their job right, you probably didn't recognize them a whole lot. Two WWE officials have passed away in the last couple of weeks. One of those, Tim White, passed away at the age of 68. He made his debut as a referee in 1985 and worked his way up to Judgment Day with a match between Chris Jericho and Triple H. In that match, he suffered a shoulder injury that effectively made him retire as a referee. Tim White passed away at the age of 68. Also passing away, legendary pro wrestling referee Dave Hebner. Now, Dave Hebner had a twin brother, Earl Hebner, who was also an official in the WWE, also in Impact Wrestling for a time. Dave Hebner was involved in a lot of feuds and a lot of big matches in the WWE's rock and wrestling era. He was the official in what some people call the greatest match ever, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage at WrestleMania III. Both of the Hebners got a piece of the spotlight in 1988 with the evil twin Ref Angle. So today, as we get set for Turnbuckle Trash, the 10 bells for legendary referees Tim White and Dave Hebner.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. You. This is where we all get together and we talk about some of the issues, some of the things that are going on in Turnbuckle Trash. And a quick reminder, go to davesvoiceworks.com. I got Radio Guy Reflections on there, also Turnbuckle Trash, and something new called the 3W News. It's about 10 minutes worth of crazy, wild news, and it's just a lot of fun. davesvoiceworks.com, and you spell works, W-O-R-X. Joining me right now is one of my favorite people in the entire North Carolina region. No, in the entire world.
There
I don't know why I said that.
It's right.
Chris Evans. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It is hotter than a meth pipe on payday. Sun is shining, and we are going to finally talk about some wrestling and a lot of things have been going on that have turning the internet upside down.
Oh, man, there has been so much news outside of the ring that has it's been fascinating but also troubling at times.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah, you gotta let's get into just a couple of things. Let's talk about injuries. I'm just gonna go down some of the list. These are the ones that we know about right now. Cody Rhodes out for 9 to 10 months. CM Punk out indefinitely. Bryan Danielson said to have some minor injuries. Scorpio Sky is not competing right now. He's out with a knee injury. Randy Orton, not sure if it's a work or if it's a legitimate injury, but they're talking about his back. And Ridge Holland, also injured. That's just the ones we know about. We don't know about all the bumps and bruises. We don't know about all the other injuries that wrestlers are trying to hide because, you know, they got to work and you can't get paid if you don't work.
Well, I think it's because of the hard schedule these people are having and they're putting their bodies on the line so much now. Randy Orton, I mean, he's going on, what, 20 years in the ring?
Yeah, yeah.
And his body has finally, I guess it's caught up with him. So, and if it's a work, okay, great. But I really don't think so. I think this is legit. The one thing that really shocked the devil out of me was Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
That looked gruesome.
Yeah, he tore the ligament, our tendon, and it was holding his pec muscle on. And then he performed at Hell in a Cell, and it was a good match.
It was a very good match, but you know what? He just damaged himself even more doing that. I'm surprised that the WWE would even let him compete. I mean, you're causing more damage. Your career is almost halfway over. Why do that?
I'll take that back. I'm not just going to think, I'm going to hope that the WWE would have said, if the doctors clear you to wrestle and limit your skill set, then yeah, let's do that so we don't risk further injury. I don't know whether Cody was hiding a little bit or they did painkillers. I'm sure they did some painkillers for him to do some of the things. But everyone was talking about how gutsy it was.
Yeah, I know. It was like watching an old-time wrestling event where the two gladiators were going at it, and the one had the baby face. Can he prevail now that he's been injured? And it was a good story. But Vince, changed the color of that cell.
Oh,
please.
Yeah, I agree. That red doesn't work. It almost blocks the view, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I could only concentrate on the cell. I couldn't concentrate in what was inside the ring. I mean, get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree.
It was an eye strain. Yeah, it's an eye strain. But, I mean, the injuries are getting worse and worse, and then there's other things that are going on. What is going on with these wrestlers? It seems like they're falling like dominoes.
But a wrestler has to know his limitations. I don't care who the heck you think you are. You better know your limitations and what you can and can't do in the ring. And if it's too much for you to do that you're destroying your own body and you have to self-medicate to be able to do that, time to find another job.
The WWE or AEW did not make Jeff Hardy jump off those ladders by himself.
They didn't hold a gun to his head, no.
No, they didn't do that. He made the conscious choice of doing this wrestling. So it's not just AEW's fault. It's both the companies. Because how old is Hardy?
In his 40s, I believe.
Well, he looked like he was in his 60s with that photograph of his mugshot.
Yeah.
And we can get to back that later here shortly. But, okay, he's self-medicating. Didn't the WWE try to get his butt into rehab?
Yeah,
and he refused.
Yeah, I remember when this all happened, when his situation occurred, when he was in Texas at a house event and he walked out.
Yeah.
And instead of firing him right on the spot, the WWE and Vince offered help with rehab. And a lot of people, and there was a Facebook post on one of the wrestling sites that said, blame Vince and all that, and then the fans were all over Vince for wanting to send him to rehab. No, I was saying, what a great move by the WWE. I think they're finally getting to the point where they worry about the viability of some of these performers. And Jeff, I'm being right up front here, okay? This is just my opinion. I have never been a fan of the Hardys. I've said that before.
Yes, you have.
I mean, but they have done some incredible, incredible spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I want Jeff Hardy to get better.
I do too.
I want him to sober up. I want him to be able to have his family and have a life. And if he gets well enough now, he could stop wrestling. And he could just go to card shows, he could go to Comic-Cons, and there would be people waiting in line to get his autograph, to get him to sign something, to be able to meet Jeff Hardy, do podcasts, talking about that, going to commentating. If the day-to-day grind and the injuries are getting him to self-medicate, He needs to stop being in the ring.
You can't. He's got too many demons.
Yeah.
He's got way too many demons. I don't know what he was on. What kind of, was it Oxycontin? Do we know if it was, what was it that they found in his system?
Don't know.
Jeff couldn't probably fight anybody right now. The man, he's like Jackie Chan. The man's put his life on the line, and his body has probably been broken into pieces. And a Boy Scout probably couldn't put him back together.
Right.
But can you not blame the man? He probably wakes up in pain every day.
Oh, yeah.
But he made the conscious choice of doing this career.
Yeah.
So he's got nobody to blame but himself. But I feel bad for him, and I want him to get better and get back in the ring because he's a heck of a performer.
Yeah.
But these high dives and everything, it's going to have to stop.
Yeah, they're going to have to be more wrestling. Yeah, they're going to have to get to maybe a little bit more sanity in what can and can't be done. If they're finding certain moves are going to be dangerous, too dangerous on the body, too hard on the body, then it's time to start thinking, well, let's not do that, at least until some more studies are done. I mean, they did that with the concussion protocols.
Yeah, didn't the WWE ban some moves like the turnbuckle bomb?
For a while, you couldn't do the turnbuckle bomb, and you couldn't do the curb stomp.
Yeah.
And they, what was the Billy Kidman's move off the top rope? There, that 360 or something off the top rope.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But now they're starting to do them again. Is it time to rethink that?
Yes,
I think so. I think so.
Because if a wrestler slips, just like CM Punk did,
yeah.
If he slips off that rope, he's going to break something. The body can only bend so much.
Yeah.
Before the bones finally say, I've had enough, or the tendons say, I've had enough. So, yeah, these guys are going to have to slow it down a little bit. I mean, come on.
And I was watching NXT this week, and we're recording this on Thursday. So the Tuesday night NXT, and Legado de Fantasma, one of the tag team of that, was in a suit and tie, looking good. I mean, this dude was looking sharp. And he got into the ring and did a top rope move where he springboarded onto the top rope and then used that as a springboard go. And he was in street shoes. And I almost freaked out and said, why do that? At least get on the turnbuckle and do something. But I'm just worried that certain moves are going to be too dangerous for a while until they can modify them a little bit, or practice them more. The one that you mentioned, that buckle bomb that Seth freaking Rollins does.
Oh, yeah.
If Zane calls us this afternoon, which he might, but he might not, ask him about the buckle bomb, and boy, I tell you what, Zane hates that move. He hates it, and there's a reason.
It broke Sting's neck. There were moves that were banned in the pile driver. Sometimes people say no pile drivers because, you could slip up, and just like Austin, was almost paralyzed.
Yeah.
Came close. But these guys are doing moves that are just, phenomenal, but come on, Darby Allin's got a life to live. He don't need to be in a wheelchair by the age of 30.
Yeah, and you mentioned the pile driver. There are states, including Louisiana, that the sports authority says, no, you're not going to do that because it is so dangerous. If the head isn't tucked properly, if it's a little bit too far down, and in the state of Louisiana, you're not supposed to do that, although some promotions have snuck it past and got it done. One I worry about is I can't remember the wrestler who does it, but it's almost like a reverse pile driver or a reverse tombstone because the other wrestler's body is on his back and then he just falls his knees. That one to me just looks way too dangerous, but
it is. I mean, that you could slip. I mean, everything that these guys do, if they don't do it correctly or the other guy that is participating doesn't follow through with the move, that's lights out. It's over. I mean, didn't someone in Memphis die from the pile driver?
I don't know if it was in Memphis, but I know Ted DiBiase Sr., not the Million Dollar Man, but his father did die in the ring. And I believe it was from a pile driver. But you've had wrestlers injured. If you'll remember, Draws. The puke, as they called him when he first got in.
Yeah, he was dropped on his head.
Yeah. And they banned for a while AJ Styles' move. And the muscle buster from Samoa Joe, that hurt Tyson Kidd. So I'm wondering, even though we as fans want to see these spectacular moves, I wonder if we as fans need to start saying, maybe get into more like the ankle locks things like that make people tap out instead of that are so dangerous that somebody's life or their livelihood could be in danger. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not an expert. I'm not a medical expert.
We none of us are, and that's why we're the fans. But, I mean, we keep seeing these injuries, and if the WWE keeps it up and AEW keeps it up, their roster is going to be so dang thin, which AEW needs that, but not with injuries.
Right.
So, but it's just getting ridiculous. I've never seen so many injuries within a year. So
yeah, it's been bad.
Money.
That's right. Money makes the world go round, and my world is pretty flat. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
You know, I always say money is the root of all evil, and I need deeper roots, man. But anyway, you mentioned a name, and I want to talk to you about the situation with the Nature Boy Ric Flair and what they're calling his final match coming up in July. What do you think about this?
Well, the pay-per-view is $200. I don't believe that marks Sprout Wings and Fly.
Now, okay. That is the top tier for the pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
On Fight TV.
I sent that to you, and I didn't really read everything about it.
Yeah. Fight TV has it priced, I think, around $39. I'm not exactly sure. But they have different tiers where you get, I think the $200 is you get yourself a piece of the ring. They'll send it to you. Maybe an autograph. I don't know what the whole $200 thing is, but there's different tiers. So if you wanted to watch it, you could watch it at an affordable price. I'm talking below 50, probably below 40. I don't have that right in front of me. So
thing is, who's gonna be the opponent?
I don't know yet.
It's not gonna be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. He dropped out.
Yeah.
I got a couple of people for him if they would be able to work with Flair. There's one that hated Flair's guts, but I think they've made up a little bit in the past, would be the Honky Tonk Man, Wayne Ferris.
But is Wayne in good enough shape?
No.
Last time I saw him, he'd been enjoying the Honky Tonk a little bit much.
Yeah, I think he's just enjoying his podcast and everything else. I don't know who it could be. If I was to pick somebody, it would have to be the person he's been training with would be Jay Lethal.
And I think that would be a great fit for him. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
They could even, relive their day of doing the Jay Lethal Ric Flair promo. When Rick's in the ring, Jay Lethal is doing his impression of Rick. That was one of the greatest things that they ever had on that show. I loved TNA, that particular promo they cut. It's a classic, and if you get a chance to see it, I'll go to YouTube and look up that Jay Lethal Ric Flair promo.
And he's got Rick's voice down pat.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got the way he walks and he's acting. And Jay is – Lethal is a heck of a wrestler.
Oh, he is.
He's good on the mic, and he's really good about what he does. But the next thing is, okay, if it's not going to be Jay, who else can they dig up? Unless it's Hogan.
No, I don't.
I don't think Hogan could do it.
I think it's got to be someone that is towards the end of their career that had something to do with Rick. Whether it's someone, maybe Orton does it, or maybe something like that. But I think the obvious choice to me is Jay Lethal. Maybe he does the Black Machismo gimmick again. And it would be like Ric Flair against Randy Savage, because Jay does a great Randy Savage too.
And yeah, he does a great
I loved it when he was Black Machismo. I thought that was a great character. But I think it's going to be on the 31st of July. And it, I was just looking here on the TMZ sports page, and it says it's part of Jim Crockett Promotions. Let me see if I can find that again.
It's going to be with the NWA.
Okay. So, yeah, and he's been cleared medically, but I also heard he had to go to a lot of doctors to get cleared. So that's something that's coming up on the 31st. And you know what? I hope that if things work out well for him. I think if they rehearse it enough, I think it can be entertaining, because Rick's a pro. Whoever he's going to be is a pro. They're not going to try to do things too dangerous.
No.
I did hear Rick was going to try to do one spot off the top rope.
Well, they did that with the video I put on Facebook, that Rick did take a bump from the top rope. Jay threw him over, and he landed, and he got back up. Okay, yeah. That's great. But what is the one thing that Rick is known for?
Well, that flip into the ring?
No. Mm-mm. Being the Crimson Mask.
Oh, yeah.
Will it happen?
Oh, I bet.
Because it doesn't take much to bust that man open. I mean, you can thump his head and he would probably start gushing blood. But I don't know. I'm praying for Rick, and I hope nothing happens to him. And I hope that he gets all the money he can. And this, if this is the last ride, as the Undertaker would say, if this is the last ride, then he's going to go out with a bang.
Well, we wish him the best. And that's on July 31st. Right now, I'm not interested.
No, I'm not either, really. No. I mean, I'm not either.
So I don't think I'll be spending money on that one. But no. AEW has that Forbidden Door coming up with New Japan, and there's a lot of talk backstage or on the internet that this promotion coming up is kind of iffy right now. The two sides are going back and forth about what the, you know, who's going to win what, who's going to book what, and with the injury of CM Punk, how they're going to do that. And I think it's just going to be a mess. And John Moxley is now the interim champion, and he's going to be there. I don't know what's going to happen with that particular pay-per-view. That's a traditional pay-per-view, not a premier live event like the WWE. But I just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I'm glad they finally put the belt back on Moxley. Well, the interim belt, they put it on him. He's a better champion. I like him. His in-ring work is going to have to take some more strides. He needs to learn how to hide his blade better when he gets busted open.
I saw that.
Yep, he needs to learn how to hide that blade. Yeah. Yes, it was very funny. He needs to learn how to hide that blade better. But
the camera crew needs to know when to cut away, the director and more.
Yeah, that's true too.
Because that's been one of my major, I wouldn't say complaints, but one of my major critiques of AEW, that their technical work sometimes with cameras and microphones, it leaves a little bit to be desired.
And referees.
And yeah, let's go ahead and go into Aubrey Edwards real quick. Last night you sent me a question about referee Aubrey Edwards. Go ahead. You go ahead with your critique of the referee Aubrey Edwards.
How in God's name can you act like that in the ring? You're the focus is supposed to be on the wrestlers. Not you. And you went on a podcast about 3 months ago stating that you wanted to do a great job in the ring and let the wrestlers tell the story. But there's video of you, your facial expressions, your body expressions. It makes you look like an idiot. And you're taking all the focus away from the wrestlers and putting it on you. This is not about you. It's about what's in the ring. And if just look at her work. It's ridiculous. I don't like this ref at all. I mean, I know they're supposed to be comedy and wrestling, but this one right here, she's Mo, Larry, and Curly all rolled into one. Yeah, certainly. Certainly.
But, okay. I'm going to agree with you while I'm disagreeing. Does that make sense?
Go right ahead.
Okay, here's the reason why, Chris. I think Aubrey Edwards being the first mainline female referee, got a lot of publicity and a lot of press and a lot of goodwill for the AEW. I've watched her in the ring. I've noticed some of the things that you're talking about, but I also have noticed how some of her work has added to the storyline. Now, I'll preface that with one other thing. In other sports, a good referee doesn't want to be noticed.
That's true.
I mean, if a referee becomes the storyline in, say, professional football, basketball, or even baseball, and I'll give you an example in baseball, Angel Hernandez. He is hated by several players. He's hated by fans, and I'm one of them, don't like his work. That's where I have a problem. If it distracts from the game or makes the game or match not as important, that's where I have a problem with Aubrey Edwards. But I have seen her do good work, and I think in professional wrestling, I will give her a little bit more of a pass than I would in a other sport where the storyline isn't as prevalent. But a referee
That's understandable.
Turning the back or not seeing somebody cheating or sending someone to the back because they have cheated or, you know, whatever a referee does, they have an important role. And when we had Dewey on with us, who had worked at one time for the WWE, we talked about that role, and he said, you know, above all, he's watching for safety, or the referee, they're watching for safety, and they will call a match, and if the wrestlers are doing something that isn't right, he'll coach them up a little bit. Example, personal example, okay? You know, years ago, I told you I was the ringside announcer at an event in Louisiana, and the referee in the match, and I believe, you know, I'm getting old, so my memory ain't what it used to be, but Tommy Gilbert was the official, and I believe that if my memory serves me right, Jim Helwig, who went on to become the Ultimate Warrior, was taking on Coco Beware. This was before the Birdman gimmick. They were both just starting off in wrestling. And I remember Tommy Gilbert slapping the turnbuckle while the guys were just rolling around. And I heard him say, "Hollywood, Hollywood." And I went, okay. Then they were on the mat in a kind of a rest hold. And I'm so close. I can touch the ring. That's how close I am. And I heard him say, "If you don't want me to stop this match right now and send you guys back to the back and not get paid, you keep on doing what you're doing. Now wrestle and do your job." I literally heard him say that. And I was going, well, I didn't realize that the official was so integral to the game. And then when I talked to Dewey about that, Dewey confirmed that they're helping with the pace. They have certain hand signals. They have certain touches that they do on wrestlers so they can communicate. I didn't realize that. So, you know, they grab the wrist. They grab it a certain way. The referee, there's just different ways that the wrestler will communicate with an official. But I heard Tommy Gilbert say, you know, "Get it together or I'm sending you back to the back." Literally. I mean, I give Aubrey Edwards just a little bit of a leeway there. Okay. Okay. So now I want to take a short break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to talk more about some of the things going on in the world of professional wrestling. Zane, join us in just a little bit. Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com, spell works, W-O-R-X.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG, Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
I'm back in the saddle again.
I'm back, Dave.
Steven Tyler, you ain't, my man.
Hey, isn't Steven Tyler, isn't he, he's not doing very good. He had to check himself back into rehab. Dude.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
They canceled their Vegas tour, dude.
Oh, they did? Well, yeah, you follow that more than I do, so.
You're a doctor of rock and roll. Why aren't you following it?
Because I'm retired, Bubba.
Dave, take the rock and roll out of the DJ, but you can't take the DJ out of the rock and... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You're once a DJ, you're always a DJ.
Well, I just wanted to welcome you back. I know you've been extremely busy over the last couple of months with your fairly new business. I'm glad it's going well for you, man. I really am.
Oh my gosh, Dave, been so busy. Mm-hmm. Can't hardly see straight. But you know what? I've always, you know, no matter how busy I get, Dave, I always find time for you.
Exactly. That's why I send you all these texts. I send you so many texts.
And for Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, that's what you
and
do.
And all three of our fans.
Well, no. We have four fans, so, you know.
Oh, four.
No.
We're moving up in the world. It's fun, and it's always exciting, and it's always just, yeah, we're just goofballs, and we just, you know what? I'm counting down for our Spotify debut. Any day now, Spotify's going to call and offer us $10 million.
To take Joe Rogan's place?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would.
You could do it, you know. We could sit around and drink sparkling water and smoke hemp, or I don't know, what can we smoke? Can we smoke anything?
I'd rather smoke ribs.
Smoke ribs. Yeah, we could sit around and smoke ribs.
Yeah, and
drink
ribs,
sparkling soda.
Yeah. Man, the other stuff soda. I don't care about. You put me some ribs down there with some Memphis dry rub and a little barbecue sauce on the side, get myself a little bit of coleslaw, and this doctor be one happy dude. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And you know who, we're off topic, but that's okay. Do you know who makes, seriously, the best ribs on the planet?
I do not know.
You should know because you live with her.
Oh, I know. Yeah, my wife does make incredible smoked ribs. She really does.
Yes.
Even better than yours.
I have a recipe.
Tell the story about your mom.
Okay. When I was still up in Logan, you invited me and my wife over for just, what was it for? Was it for your birthday?
I think it was my birthday. Yeah. I think it was my birthday.
And my wife couldn't come. And I asked my mom, I said, well, you know, do you want to go with me? And she's like, sure. And so my mom came over, and we had some of Teresa's ribs, and my mom still talks about those. I mean, she still says how good those ribs were and how they were the best ribs she's ever had.
Oh, delicious!
I will agree. I will. Yeah. I don't do restaurant ribs anymore. They just pale in comparison. I really, my wife, it's a good rib maker. Yeah.
Well, speaking of ribs, has there been any shots to the ribs or any injuries lately?
Oh man, have there been injuries lately? I mean, you remember we talked about Cody Rhodes with that torn pec muscle and him still performing at Hell in the Cell. CM Punk broke a bone in his leg or his foot by trying to do a top rope move. This is after he had a very physical match with Hangman Page and won the championship. Now he had to have surgery on that, so he's out for a while. You've had some reported injuries, and I'm still not 100% sure if this one's a work or if it's legit. Randy Orton said to be facing some serious back surgery. You've also had, Ridge Holland injured himself. He was on SmackDown but did nothing physical the other night. And you've had a couple of other injuries back and forth. And I did ask Chris what he thought was the reason why we are having all these injuries. And I know we have talked about this before, but what is some of the reasoning you think?
I hate to blame – everybody blames everything on COVID, right?
Right.
You know? But, I mean, there might be some – a little bit to that where they were, you know, doing a little – some pre-recorded stuff. They were performing in the Performance Center, you know, things like that. And now all of a sudden they're back out on the road again. I don't know.
I think you're right there.
I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know. You and I can only speculate.
Right.
And we're not, you know, we're not pros by any means. And you are a doctor, though.
Yes, I do play one on the radio. So, you know. And, you know, Bailey's still out. Bailey is still out.
Well, yes, she is. She had an ACL injury.
Uh-huh. So, what's your wife going to, what would you say about your wife?
I was thinking about the radio. You know, my wife says, I can't sing. I don't play any instruments, but I do play the radio.
So. I play a mean CD, you know.
Yeah. What's a CD?
Well, you know, now I'm putting all my CDs onto a thumb drive and all on my computer so I can watch it. I don't like the music on Spotify and stuff. I just don't get into that, so.
So, lots of injuries, man. Lots and lots of injuries. My goodness. Did you see the pictures of Cody's torn pectoral muscle?
I send them to you, remember?
Oh, Mike, yeah.
Unreal,
freaking
huh?
Real. That was totally fake. That was so fake. I can't believe you watched that fake crap.
Uh-huh.
Hurry, where's makeup at? You know? Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, and you know what? Because Chris and I have talked about this before, hats off not only to Cody for getting into the ring with that big injury, but also to Seth Rollins for being able to work around that. I mean, that is incredible.
Could you imagine the pain of tearing something like that? So I got to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
Speaking of pain. So I... And this is nothing compared to what these guys go through. So the other day, I'm at a new construction site. And I'm talking to the customer. We're going over some things and showing him, I'm measuring some things out for him and showing him how big some things will be. And I kind of stepped back a little bit, and there was a nice, cute little round rock right there.
Uh-huh.
And I stepped on that round rock, and all my momentum was going back. And I twisted my ankle so flippin' bad. It immediately swelled up about as big as round as a tennis ball. And I got, you know, black and blue. My whole foot turned black and blue down into my toes. I got big tiger stripe bruises on my ankle. And everything in there is I'm sure I tore everything in there.
Oh.
You know, but I'm too damn stubborn to go to the doctor. I'll probably, if it doesn't get better, I'll go. But, you know, I had a nice brace that I lace up tight and anything. But my point is could you imagine those guys, they do that type of stuff and then keep going?
Yeah.
You know, and a torn ankle, you know, or ligaments in your ankle versus torn pectorals and things like that. I mean, I just can't believe that, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, you got Rick Boogs, who is still out from WrestleMania. If you remember, he was trying to do a spot where he was going to lift two wrestlers on his back because he's, you know, a big muscular guy, and his knee just gave out. He's still out. And, you know, there's just things. There are things that happen inside the ring or even just in training that you know, sometimes there's reasons behind it, and sometimes it's just one of those things, like you find in that little round rock, you know, that things happen.
Talk about absolutely horribly, awfully painful. I just can't imagine, Dave, what some of these guys go through in the ring. But hey, it's all staged, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that brings up another point, because this has been one of the bigger stories of as of late. Yeah, staged.
Do I know where you're going with this?
I'm not sure if you do or not, because this one kind of got me angry. Oh. Although I think I did send you a text about it because I got angry. It's the Jeff Hardy situation where he got pulled over again for DUI in Florida. I mean, honestly, you know, I don't drink, and I don't mind when people drink, but getting behind the wheel to me is irresponsible. But I say that with Jeff Hardy in mind because I want him to get better. I mean, we've had John Moxley out because of alcohol abuse, and he, you know, right now he's doing fine. And whenever you're an addict, it's always with you. If you don't battle it and try your best to stay away from it, you're never completely healed. I want Jeff Hardy to get better. I want him to have what he wants in life, but I want him to do it safely, and I want him to do it where I evidently can't handle the painkillers and the booze anymore. I want him to do it sober. That's my point. Yeah. But what made me angry was a post by Booker T. Booker T comes out and says that AEW and Tony Khan had to take a little bit of the blame for Jeff's situation because Jeff was doing all these high contact and high risk spots. I mean, he's done some crazy ladder spots, not only his entire career, but over the last year. I mean, there was a couple of spots with Darby Allin that were just, I mean, I could not believe both of them walked away from it. Well, they did have to get checked out in the hospital. But who is forcing them to do these spots? If someone is responsible and know they can't or they shouldn't do this spot safely, they shouldn't do the daggum spot, you know? I don't care how much you want to perform. If you can't do it safely, don't do it.
Well, yeah, I think they've cut. See, and that's an interesting topic. And there was a time when wrestlers would get injured and they would perform injured, and they would power through those injuries with cocaine and alcohol and painkillers and things. But now you see things with the WWE trainers and a lot of those people, the WWE doctors, you know. Like the WWE doctors wouldn't even let Sting perform.
Right.
Because of his neck injury. And so to say that is kind of not fair, I think, because some of that is personal responsibility, and some of it maybe is AEW just wanting to sell. But at least they didn't, you know, drop somebody in the middle of the ring and then continue on with the show.
Right.
I mean, that'll forever be a black mark on the WWE, and they deserve that black mark, I think.
And you remember, you know, that when Jeff walked out of the show in Texas before coming to AEW, WWE offered to pay for his rehab. So give them credit there, you know? But still, there's got to be and that maybe to me it's just one of the problems with society. We're always looking for someone to blame and not taking personal responsibility. And I'm a big personal responsibility. There's consequences to our actions. And, you know, hey, I'm overweight. I'm terribly overweight, and it's caused me some health problems. But I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm not trying to blame all the pig farmers for making delicious bacon, you know. And Hershey's for making delicious chocolate. It was me, you know, and I was the problem. And I'm trying to eat better and trying to do better. And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But to have Booker T say that just really, It frosted me. It got me really upset.
Well, absolutely it should, because I don't think intentionally or malicious. Like I said, maybe let's talk about this for a second, because you've been into this sport a lot longer than I have. You've seen things that I haven't seen. Correct.
Yeah, that's right. I'm one of them old timers.
But what would you say, in Dave's opinion, from being a longtime fan, is the difference between, like what I was saying, now versus back when you hear those stories that, like, Jake the Snake Roberts will talk about that stuff, you know, snorting cocaine and going to the ring and playing, you know, a lot of those guys talk about that wrestling injured. They never got any time off. And you would know more than me on that subject. So help me understand what the difference is between now and then.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the drug culture. It was more, I don't want to say more prevalent, but maybe more abuse to keep being able to perform. Now, these wrestlers, you know, they travel from show to show to show, and some of them would take uppers so they could drive from one show to the next overnight, and they'd have one driver. The other guys would be, you know, boozing it up in the back seat or the side seat. And they're taking painkillers to get to sleep, and then they're taking uppers to get up the next day. That was a little bit more prevalent in the past, because it wasn't as known how dangerous it was. Do we still have it? Yes. I mean, you look at society, and drug abuse and alcohol abuse is one of the real scourges of our society today. It's just it's ruining a whole bunch, and it cost us money, not only socially, economically, but also in our family lives. You know, if you've ever had good friends or family members that have been abusers of drugs and alcohol, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Does that mean I want to ban all drugs and all alcohol? To me, that's more of a personal decision. I don't do it. I didn't support the legalization of marijuana that is so prevalent now, but now that it's there, I have no problem with it. Responsibly, okay? Responsibly is the big watchword, and I think it's my opinion only. You don't have to agree with me. Matter of fact, you know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I don't care if you don't agree with me. But I think that's one of the problems of our society right now, is not taking personal responsibility, always looking for someone else to blame. And is it somebody's fault sometimes? Yeah, but not all the time. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You know, and that's a tough subject. Because
it is a very tough subject.
Because you don't want to make light of anybody's addictions or anybody's problems.
No.
But there is ways of helping people through those. And I think that, I think the days of that, like you're saying, I think they're gone. Maybe not gone completely. There's always going to be a way to cope with your issues. But the WWE, I mean, Roman Reigns even got popped for performance enhancing stuff.
Exactly.
And gotten a boo-boo for that. So, and that's another, that's, I mean, kind of on the same topic, but kind of different. I mean, I personally, in my opinion, don't have a terrible problem with performance enhancing, but if it's causing a problem with other things, you know, then you shouldn't be using it, you know, with alcohol or prescription medications. But that's just my opinion.
Under a doctor's care, a responsible doctor's care.
Yeah,
I could see that. I would more encourage that than trying to self-medicate. And I think a lot of the wrestlers are trying to self-medicate a little bit too much.
Well, and seeing like there was a controversy with Adam Rose, you know, the WWE shit-canned him for being on Adderall.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure there was more to the story, but Adderall is a substance that the WWE does not allow in their facilities. And so, I don't know. You know, Adam Rose tried to fight that, and he hired a lawyer and stuff, and said that he was under doctor's care and medication and stuff. But I don't know. I don't agree with that statement by Booker T, though. That's wrong. That's wrong. I don't know.
You go back a couple of years ago when CM Punk, 7 years ago or 8 years ago now, when he left the WWE, he was talking about the trainers and the doctors for the WWE not treating his injury serious enough. And once again, you know, they are, you know, they're trying to put on a product and they're trying to do the right thing. And there's a lot of pressure to perform. And, you know, once again, I go back to my experience in performance. My performance was radio. How many times did I go to work when I could barely talk? Should I have? Because my voice, you know, was gone. No, I shouldn't have, you know, looking back at it. But then again, the place I worked at, we didn't have a backup. And I think that we're going to have to find ways as a society and as professional wrestling fans to support a wrestler saying, you know what, I can't go tonight. And I think part of that comes from that mentality of being a, what do they call that, a non-contract worker. You know, they're on a services contract. They're not but they still get, they don't get medical in WWE. They don't get vacations. You know, they're not unionized. And I do think that needs to be addressed, because these guys do need better health care. I shouldn't just say guys. Guys and the ladies need better health care. They need help with their travel because they pay for their travel themselves. But you know, then again, they make a lot of money doing this as a personal, you know, personal services contract. That's basically what it is. And I don't completely agree with it, but that's what they signed up for. That makes sense?
Well, yeah, it really, it does. And it's like you said, though, what is the perfect answer?
Nothing.
What is the perfect answer? Is the perfect answer for WWE to put everybody under their umbrella and make them an employee and provide, you know, or is it the answer, like we've talked about before, if you're going to be a 1099 employee, you should be able to go do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, that's
well, how can you sign a contract? How can you sign a contract with the WWE?
Yeah.
And then be a 1099 employee, a freelance contractor. That makes no sense. That's, you know, just like saying freezer burned. I mean, you know, it's the opposite of what it is.
Right.
And so I don't know. You know, I think it's a combination of both. Maybe AEW was looking at some quick bucks and getting the Hardy Boys in there, but that's got to stop. That crap has got to stop. There is, look at what we have. I'm getting on my soapbox here. Look at what we have right here in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Look at the talent that we have right here in Salt Lake City. Manny Lemons, Brett Boucher, Andrew Sowell, Tom Chat. How many of these flipping guys would ache at the chance of getting anything, any type of work outside of busting their butt, you know, every month driving to Colorado or going to a local show or this or that? You know, the WWE, AEW, whatever you, whoever is out there needs to stop going after the Hardys. Their time is done. Matt can't hardly walk.
Right.
Jeff's drunk every night because he can't deal with the pain. Why are they still performing? I mean, it's time for these organizations to start building talent. And who's going to carry the torch? I mean, AEW now has turned into WCW 2.0, where they're signing everybody from the WWE who once was. And why did they do that? They said they weren't going to do that. They said they weren't going to do that. They said that, remember when Chris was on our show, and when AEW first did Double or Nothing, and we talked about, like, and he was going, you know, who the heck is this guy, and who the heck is that guy? Luchasaurus, who's that? Who's
Orange Cassidy and all, yeah.
Yeah, and we were going, I don't know, but you and I both went, whoever they are, they're great, because, you know, they're going to build a name for themselves, and they're going to build a product. And here comes a WWE guy. No offense to CM Punk. I love Punk. I'm sure he's doing a great job. The fans love him. And great feud with MJF and stuff like that. But they totally ignore these upcoming talents and these other people to make room for these superstars. And WWE does it too. You know, night after night, Roman Reigns is in the spotlight, And meanwhile, how many other guys in NXT and on the WWE roster are performing their tails off at house shows and not getting any TV time?
And guess who's back now on SmackDown to take on Roman? Brock Lesnar came back on Friday night.
Oh, God.
So we're going to see Brock Lesnar.
Haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen this before?
Millions of times.
I'm so sick of it.
Yeah.
You know, I try not to be negative. I really don't, because I hate podcasts that are negative to the WWE all the time. But when we talked to Tim Young last month, he's got a point.
Yeah.
He's got a point. He says, I want to spend my money on your product. I want to give you my money. I want to sit down and watch wrestling with my kid. But they make it so hard to do.
They do tend to just focus on maybe 10 wrestlers, and everybody else is in enhancement talent. AEW has done just a little bit better job of building younger talent. I mean, Hangman Page, Orange Cassidy, even to a point of Thunder Rosa, Dr. Britt Baker, and people like that. Those are more homegrown stars. But on the other side, when a WWE wrestler comes in, they get a huge pop from the crowd. And yeah, they seem to do that with Jon Moxley, Daniel Bryan. But they have that Fight Club now with Moxley and Daniel Bryan. But they also bring along a younger performer to be with them in Yuta. You know, so they're doing, I think, a little bit better job maybe building some talent like a Jungle Boy and a Thunder Rosa. But what happened this week on Friday night on AEW Dynamite? Rampage on Friday night. Christian Cage turned on Jungle Boy. You know, is it going to be Jungle Boy and Christian Cage for a while? Maybe building Jungle Boy up more as a singles competitor? Who knows, you know, how they're going to do that. But, you know, they both do tend to focus a little bit too much on the more established stars, and they just lean on them. I mean, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar again. Now, Brock got a huge pop the other night from the crowd in Minnesota, but, you know, that's where he went to school, you know? He went to University of Minnesota, so it was a good time to bring him back. But am I interested in seeing Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns go at it one more time? Not really. It doesn't thrill me at all. But if I could have saw maybe Roman Reigns against somebody like maybe Randy Orton again, but Randy is injured, or maybe bringing up somebody, you know, the Street Profits, getting them a title shot a little bit more against the Usos, and, you know, maybe doing some single stuff. But they're very selective on who gets a push, and I just wish they would let somebody get a push and see if it holds and let them run with a little bit, and maybe let some of these guys have a little bit more time off to be able to heal from these injuries and write storylines.
Elias.
Elias. Yeah, that's going to be good on, on Monday Night Raw to see if the real Elias shows up. A lot of people are thinking it's Damian Sandow coming back dressed up like Elias. That's what Chris thinks. And I've seen that on the internet too. But
that would be funny.
Now, I said something about storyline. I want to get your idea on this. Because the Judgment Day, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and Edge had this good thing going with the Judgment Day. And then they let the Judgment Day turn on Edge and brought in Finn Balor to head up the group. I loved it. I didn't see that swerve coming. I called it the swerve of the year. What do you think about Edge going from this evil character now back to a more of a face as he's still in the business?
I don't have a problem with Latin. Finn's great, dude.
Uh-huh.
And Finn, when he was the leader of the Bullet Club, he's proved that he can lead a faction.
Yeah.
So great. Fantastic.
Fantastic. And the rumor is that Edge didn't want Judgment Day to go into the direction of more supernatural, kind of like the Brood. You know, the Brood did kind of the supernatural stuff, and Edge, you know, didn't really want to go that direction. Then they came up with this swerve, and Edge, you know, gets turned on. I thought whoever said, well, you know what, let's work that in. And I actually thought that was one of the best Raws I had seen in years, that particular show when they did that. It was awesome.
That's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Here we complain about the WWE on the left hand, and then we praise them on the right.
Well, yeah, you know, that's one thing you got to do. You got to say, sometimes when they hit the ball, they hit it out of the park. You know, they really, when they do something right, they do it right. Here's something they do wrong. And I'm going to complain about this until the day I die. They'll bring out wrestlers like they brought out the New Day on SmackDown. They bring them out, and the crowd's going crazy for the New Day. Baron Corbin's leaving the ring after being defeated, and they kind of look at each other and, you know, ha, ha, ha. And then the New Day gets into the ring. They cut to a commercial. Okay, 3 minutes later, they come back to the programming after the commercial break, and they're doing an interview backstage. A backstage interview has nothing to do with the New Day. Then they do a pre-recorded spot with some highlights or something, and then they come back to the New Day in the ring. So they've had to come down and dance and jive and do all the stuff that they do so well, then get into the ring and try to keep that crowd, the live crowd, entertained for 5 to 6 minutes doing, you know, and the crowd by that time has kind of lost interest. It happens every show, and I can't see why they can't change up their formatting just a little bit so a performer doesn't have to be in the ring with nothing to do except to look at the crowd going, hello, it's me, hello, cheer for me. It doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk, like what do you do? Like,
you bring it out, and you try to get people talking about that and understanding where you're coming from. And not everybody's going to agree with us. Like we said, that's fine. But it's called storytelling, and they're lacking the activity of storytelling because their format for their show is not well thought out. If they would just sit back and say, hey, let's think this 15-minute promo at the beginning of a show, let's cut that down to 5 or 6 minutes, you know, because most of the time they're stretching. It's just, you know, and every once in a while they'll have a good 15-minute segment. But more times than not, it's just like, can we get on with the show? I sent you a picture one time where somebody had a sign that said, get on with it. And it was like a 15-minute segment. So am I right?
Maybe if they would bring we'd be like, oh, right, The Miz is going to talk. I'm going to engage now.
Yeah, and The Miz has been doing great work with Theory recently, and all that big storyline. And of course the Miz and Mrs. is starting a new season recently, and the Miz, I've told my wife this a few million times. I didn't like The Miz at first, but man, he has really grown into this character. I just think he's awesome now.
I love The Miz. Since when he did that John Cena feud, I don't remember what that was, WrestleMania 27, or I don't remember. I've loved him since then. And if anybody needs to carry the belt, it's that guy, man.
Speaking of John Cena, he's making a comeback.
Yeah, to announce it, you moron.
They're doing a John Cena 20th anniversary celebration. Wouldn't it have been better just bringing him back for a little bit?
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine, let's say why didn't they have a Raw at a place they know that they could sell out and bring him back? Because, they're so stupid when they're like, John Cena's coming back in 21 days at the Raw in Chicago, Illinois, or Boston, Massachusetts, whatever. John Cena's
but he's coming back to Laredo, Texas on the
27th. Boston?
I don't know. It's going to be June 27th in Laredo, Texas, and that's when he'll be coming back. They've sold over 5,000 tickets, and there were just a few left for that special arena, and almost 1,500 of those tickets sold after the announcement that Cena was coming in for that. So, but
I don't know, Dave. If anybody from the WWE is listening, just give Dave and Zane a chance just to book one Raw. That's it. That's all we ask for.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, if it turns out crappy, then we can move on. Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind. It'll never happen.
No, it won't.
Get my hopes up again.
But, Zane, I do have one question for you. Since you are a shareholder in the WWE, the big news late this week of Vince McMahon stepping down as the CEO of the WWE among misconduct charges, with $3 million going to a possible fleeing, and John Laurinaitis is being involved with this too. Then you sent me some information after I sent you a text about this. What do you think about this as a shareholder?
Well, I guess if it's such a bad idea, why did their stock price go up?
No such thing as bad publicity, man.
It's Why does it even matter? Like, I don't really give a crap what Vince does. Like, I don't know. I could care less.
I agree with you. And Stephanie McMahon is stepping in as the temporary. And then I thought it was interesting the next day that there's also a law firm that's investigating the board at WWE. Is it still Titan Sports, I guess? Since they've went public. But anyway, the board is being investigated for misconduct. Not just Vince, not just John Laurinaitis, but the entire board. Now, do you think Vince has got a little something going underneath the table to get this controversy going? I say he does. But overall, does it really matter to a wrestling fan with the product in the ring? Does it matter at all?
You know what would be awesome?
What was that?
If it was like what if WWE corporate was like, hey, let's do a work and we'll pretend like Vince had an affair. what if WWE corporate was writing storylines to get people like hyped up and into WWE?
The controversy, though, I would love that idea, to be honest with you. And then there was an article that came out this week, and I'll try to find it for you real quick. But it said that social media was being very angry, was very angry with the crowd at Minneapolis for the way they reacted to having Vincent McMahon show up in the ring, and they cheered him. And the people say, no, they shouldn't have cheered him because somebody, you know, is upset that they actually cheered this man who's had, you know, different types of affairs. Now, this comes from an article that was in something called Bring Me the News. It's a website there. And the writer says, Minneapolis fans criticize for cheering Vince McMahon at SmackDown amid misconduct investigation. Don't they have a right? Can't they cheer? And then, you know me in social media. I even wrote on our Facebook page, that's the problem I have with social media. They concentrate on the negativity. And if somebody makes a negative tweet or on Facebook page says something negative about the situation, they're the ones that get the press, not the ones that say, you know what, the fans, they have a right to do what they want. You know, and this is somebody that's not a Vince McMahon fan, you know, but the fans, I am a fan of the fans, and they can do what the heck they want, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's because you're right. I mean, I don't care. I don't care what Vince does in his personal life. I don't care what Hogan does in his personal life. I don't really care. Do you know what I want to see?
What do you want to see?
I want to see a good old-fashioned barn burner. I want to see a good old-fashioned slobber knocker. I want to see two guys, you know, go, or girls. I don't care. Hey, we don't have to be sexist here or biased. Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch was one of my favorite matches of all time. And you know what I want to see? Good storytelling and a damn good match. We've seen some okay matches and we've seen some really good matches, but when was the last time in the last, let's say 3 years? You've been watching a little more regular than me, and you watch AEW a lot, so maybe you can answer this question. When was the last time you saw a damn good match? One that you can think that we remember. You know, we go back into our memory banks and over the years past of the show where we've had a best of match in the, you know, at the end of the year and things like that. You know, and we've talked about guys like Ricochet and Will Ospreay and, you know, all these, like, just certain matches that ring a bell to you. Is there any match in the last couple of years that has rung a bell to you that can stick in your brain?
Boy, you asked me at the wrong time. I'm old. I wouldn't
it's
say
like my
in,
brain
in
doesn't
the
work anymore.
Yeah, in the WWE, very few. There have been some memorable ones, but I couldn't come off the top of my head. And speaking of Will Ospreay, he's going to be part of this New Japan and AEW Forbidden Door show on the 26th. He's going up against, I think it's going to be against Orange Cassidy.
Cool.
Yeah. So, that's neither here nor there. But still, I tend to remember, you know, more of the matches from AEW because I'm not sitting there trying to fast forward through all the fluff of 3 hour Raw or even the fluff of a show on SmackDown or NXT. They just have these long segments that don't interest me. I know some people love them, and actually the ratings are a little bit higher during those longer segments, but it's not for me. It just drives me nuts. So,
yeah. And you know, a lot of people used to give WWE a hard time for, WCW a hard time for, like, was it Goldberg versus Hogan? And they did it on a Monday Night Raw.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, a Nitro.
Yep.
And they were like, And they were like, why are they doing that? That's a pay-per-view match. They should be booking that as a pay-per-view match, not a Nitro match. And maybe so.
And AEW gets some criticism that way, too.
How cool was that, dude? Yeah. You know, you're like on a Nitro and out of the blue, you're like, oh my gosh, Bill Goldberg's going to take on Hollywood Hogan. You know, that was freaking great.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you got that excited about a Raw?
You're right about the thing with why they always say a wrestler's coming in instead of having that surprise show up. You know, they don't do that surprise wrestler.
Why can't we have a title change on a Raw or a SmackDown?
Very rarely happens.
Why do we gotta have a title change at a pay-per-view? Why can't we?
Well, we had a title change. We had a title change on AEW's tag team as the Young Bucks on TV. The Young Bucks are now the champs. You know, do you do that? You very rarely will see that on the WWE. They had Gunther, the former Walter. They still hear the crowd in the background going, Walter, Walter, as he beat Ricochet on SmackDown for the IC title. But you think they'll ever do a title change on the Monday Night Raw? I really doubt.
No.
Yeah. But can you blame them, you know? It would be cool.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say anymore. I'm kind of at a loss, and I'm kind of a little bit frustrated. And that's why I haven't really, you know, that's why I don't really, haven't really been watching a lot of WWE and stuff. It's just it gets frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why the heck do I want to be frustrated? I don't want to be frustrated.
Just like Young said, you know, you want to give them your money and your viewership, and then make it kind of hard to do sometimes.
Yeah. So I want to go back to something you said a little bit earlier. It's not quite as serious of a topic as you said, but you were talking about something that you thought that we were kind of talking about works and gimmicks and things like that. A few weeks ago on AEW, there was a pretty doggone good promo by MJF.
Right.
And he's getting a little flack for it because he's been off TV and he's and people are going, was it real or was it not? They're a little confused. So I don't know, was it real or was it a work or was it
Memorex?
What do you think?
Do you think that he was that upset but not having the contract that he thought he deserved, that he was given the chance to do a promo and went too far, or do you think it's all a work?
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. It's pretty cool, though. I thought, whether it's a work or not, it was a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best ones I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't really care whether it was a work or not. I thought it was good.
Yep. I thought it was okay. I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't think it was as good as the pipe bomb that CM Punk did. But still, I thought it was good. And whether it was a work or if it was a shoot, I guess we'll find out down the road. And I'm hoping it was a shoot. Although I got to say this, I was getting a little bit tired of MJF's stick. You know, he was being a heel and being a great heel, but it was almost more of, I'm a mean heel and being mean to the fans it was rubbing old on me. It really was.
Was it?
Yeah, that was just me. But, you know, still, I still have an MJF shirt, you know, in my closet right now. I have a one of those where he was running for political office and said, we deserve better. I thought it was great, you know, but it was just kind of rubbing me a little bit raw. So maybe it was time to take him off TV for a while, give him a break, and then have him come back. But would you have him come back with being advertised, or would you have him attack somebody coming in from backstage, you know? What would you do?
Mm-hmm. What would I do?
Yeah. Would you get better ratings if you said MJF comes back to address him coming back to wrestling? Or would you say let him come in and attack so that maybe Wardlow again and then grab the microphone and cut another promo and saying he's back?
Or if Tony Khan came out to make an announcement, you know, or a special announcement tonight by Tony Khan, and out comes MJF and interrupts Tony Khan.
Yeah.
And makes him right on the spot, makes him sign that contract. MJF has the contract in hand, and he puts Tony in a headlock or something, and he's like, you're going to sign this contract, and you're gonna give me everything that I want, because you know that you want MJF in AEW, and Tony Khan caves and signs it.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
It was kind of like when CM Punk came back for his first promo in AEW, and they actually had the ice cream bars that they mm-hmm. gave out to the fans that night. I thought that was great, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's ways to write storylines, and then there's ways to destroy a storyline. And I don't think they don't really think some of these things through. And maybe even AEW doesn't think some storylines all the way through. But they're still learning. I think they're still learning how to do a storyline and make it go for several weeks. But they can go several weeks because their pay-per-views are more spread out than the WWE. Because we're getting ready for Money in the Bank. It's coming up in Las Vegas. You know, and you remember they did change the location of Money in the Bank. You remember that? It was going to be at the Raiders, where the Raiders play. And then they weren't selling enough tickets. So they send it back to the more intimate confines of the MGM.
Well, Dave, you know, I just any news with local wrestling? I know. So I know that they just our local promotion DCW had some stuff, and I missed it because I was in Logan. Over in Delta, which, I want them to come to a rural area so bad.
Well, that was a group out of Orem that's more of a Lucha Libre organization, and they sent some of the DCW wrestlers there for that. So they did a combined match there in Delta. And then Dive Wrestling recently had a really good event, and Dive has had some of their DCW opponents also coming in. And I think that's one of the good things that's happened in our local area is there's now three organizations that are at least three organizations putting out wrestling for wrestling fans. And but they're all trying to work together a little bit to not only get their people work, but get them experience in front of crowds. And I understand that the event in Delta went just really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it looked awesome. It looked way awesome, mm-hmm. but I don't know. It looked way cool.
And then
I really wanted to go.
Yeah, I know you did, but you were traveling back from spending all weekend in Logan and didn't come see me.
I know. Do you know how bad I felt?
No, don't worry about it.
It kind of sucked. And I even have a gift for you. I even have another gift for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I even have another gift for you.
Awesome.
It's awesome. It's going to be great. I hope you don't. I mean, I'm sure you have. I know you have some of this stuff, but I'll send it to you. I'm going to mail it to you.
Okay.
Dave loves gifts.
I do. And anything that's free, bring it to me, you know. Money, gifts, yeah. You know, comic books.
Like Samoa Joe. T-shirts.
Yeah. You gave me a Samoa Joe. Well, you gave me a gift certificate to use on Pro Wrestling Tees. And I ordered Samoa Joe T-shirt. And it got here yesterday. And I'm wearing it as we speak.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit jealous. some of mine, I had to retire. The screen printing and stuff was starting to flake and come off. Like my AJ Styles shirt the other day, I was like, it's getting kind of tattered.
Oh.
I guess I could retire it. Maybe I shouldn't retire them.
Nah, wear them. Wear them till they're threadbare.
Yeah. Well, Dave, what else you got for us?
A whole lot of nothing. I think we're all caught
How's
up.
Chris? But,
Chris is doing well. He started a new job where he's working in a county jail again in North Carolina. And he really likes the corrections work and more so than being a security guard. And he's back doing that type of work. And he, whatever the martial arts discipline he has done, he's got to the 7th level now recently. And,
wow.
Doing well and, you know, just enjoying life in North Carolina.
He's such a funny guy, isn't
yeah.
he?
He's streaming services.
Hey, one thing I was going to ask you about was I saw the other day Lucha Underground was going to be streaming on something. Apple T. Oh, look, I can't remember what it was, and they said that it was going to be streaming somewhere, and I don't remember if it was Amazon, but I read an article about it and how good it was and stuff, and I was like, yes, those were the good old days.
Well, I did find out one thing. I was just reading about it yesterday, that in the development right now is a new movie about professional wrestling. It's going to be about the Von Erichs. And their family.
Zac Efron's playing. Is that the one that Zac Efron's
right.
in?
Yeah. And they haven't started filming yet. They're still doing a little bit about that. And then, of course, that Hulk Hogan movie, Chris Hemsworth, is playing Hulk Hogan. I haven't been able to see any kind of date. I'm just looking it up and said, it's still a while away for the Hulk Hogan movie. And they're getting ready for season 2 of your show that you get to watch that I don't because I don't have Stars. And that's with Stephen Amell.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch any of that?
I've seen just a little bit of highlights.
Oh,
but it's very well done.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I will subscribe to Stars just to watch that show.
Heels?
That's such a good show. Such a great show. So, well, Dave, it's great to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure within the next couple weeks, there'll be some more professional wrestling news and some more to talk about. And I know DCW has a local show coming up in July 9th. I think I might have to skip that one because Styx is going to be in town that night.
Oh, I know where you're
and
going.
And I told my, well, I missed the last Styx concert. They came to the state fair during Corona and I missed it because they canceled it. So I'm like, oh man, I want to go. I love Styx. So I'm going to have to go see him. And other news, personal news, we're going to be gone to Texas over 4th of July. So we're going to go see how they do 4th of July in Texas.
Texas, huh?
Taking a little break from things and going to go to Texas.
Got some great wrestling down there.
Yeah, I'll say.
And speaking of Texas, real quick, on my other podcast, which is Radio Guy Reflections, I've got some interviews with people that are involved in radio in San Antonio that are in their Radio Hall of Fame and some really good interviews coming up soon. Great guy.
He's such a good dude. Well, good, Dave. Well, I, as always, it's, you know, as much as we banter and we bag and we fuss and we fart, you know, it still is a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Great.
And
time.
We still enjoy professional wrestling, and we're still going to watch professional wrestling. And so, I don't know. I mean, that's all I got, too.
Well, you said you had some things to talk about, and we talked about them.
We talked about them. I did say that, too. I texted you, and I said, Dave, it's way past time to record. So, here we are.
Here we are.
We're recording, and we're done.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, all right, but this is for informational purposes only.
Hey, we're back. It's Chris Evans and Dave Denton as we talk more about the world of professional wrestling here on Turnbuckle Trash. Thank you for joining us. Remember, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on several different platforms now. We also have a website, turnbuckletrash.net, turnbuckletrash.net. You can join us also on Facebook and get involved in the situation. I'd like to thank Richard Davidson and Jim Valentine. They get really involved with what we're doing, and we thank both of you. And Jim, by the way, is going to be on my other podcast soon, Radio Guy Reflections, and we're going to talk about radio plus his love of professional wrestling. One other thing, I've got to apologize to one person, AJ Knight. AJ Knight, a coworker of mine that is leaving from the station I used to work for, and he is moving to Maine to continue his radio career. And we took a segment while I was recording for Radio Guy Reflections, and we took a segment talking about professional wrestling because he's somewhat of a fan. And as I told Chris, I don't know what the heck happened, but my computer went haywire and I lost an entire file of a lot of stuff, and I lost AJ's podcast. It's not there.
Oh, man.
I knew it was there, but it's not there anymore. So AJ, apologies. But I guess that's because I'm getting old and I forget things. But let's get back into the world of professional wrestling. John Cena. I've never been the biggest John Cena fan. I try to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
But as a man, I will give him some credit because he is so involved in giving back to his community, especially kids and the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, yes, yes.
Recently, he dropped everything. I think he paid for it himself, to go across the pond. He flew across the pond and took it to a young man from the Ukraine whose home was destroyed in the war with the Russians and the Ukrainians. And this young man has Down syndrome.
Mm.
He doesn't communicate. He doesn't talk. He has Down syndrome.
Uh-huh.
But he is a wrestling fan. And
oh, yeah.
John found out about his story. He dropped everything and had a couple of days off. And he flew, I think it was someplace in Finland, if I'm not mistaken, and met this young man, gave him shirts, gave him a belt, and spent not 30 minutes, not 10 minutes, most of the day playing with this young man and the other children in the area.
Uh-huh.
As much as we complain about wrestlers, a lot of these guys really do give back to their community.
Well, he's got a heart.
He does.
I mean, he's not stuck up. He tries to do everything he can right. And I give the man credit. I mean, he's got the most Make-A-Wish out of anyone. And, I mean, the man just, excuse my language, ass over tea kettle, just does everything he can for the children. And, I mean.
But there are things that you do in life that if you're an actor, you can't hide it. You know,
you can
see a tear in his eye. You can see the smile on his face. You can see how it touched him personally to have these people enjoy what he does so much. And hats off to John Cena.
Yeah, hats off to John. Good congratulations, man. I really believe that the belt will be put back on him one more time. When that will be, it'll never know. We'll never know.
And wrestling fans will turn on a dime. I mean, there's been some great swerves in the past where somebody's being cheered and they do one thing and then they are evil. And then they'll be evil and one thing will happen and they're automatically a face.
Yep.
And that's called a swerve, okay?
It is.
And to me, one of the best swerves I have ever seen happened a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Raw with the Judgment Day, a new faction with Edge at the front and, man, I'm trying to remember the dude's name. I want to call him Punishment Martinez because that's what he was in ROH and Rhea Ripley. And they were bad. I mean, they were evil. And I guess the writers and creative staff, and this is the story that's going, and this is behind the scenes stuff. They decided to take this Judgment Day and take it more into a supernatural type of situation. So they were going to try to make it to where here's the situation. They were going to do some of the things like the Brood did, you know, with kind of the devil worship and things like that. And Edge said, you know, I don't mind being a heel, but according to the internet, if you can believe everything on the internet, Edge says he didn't want to take it that far. So they swerved. They you know, brought in a pinch hitter, a great pinch hitter, in Finn Balor. And then Finn Balor, who at the time was a face, he comes to join the Judgment Day, and then they all turn onto Edge, and Edge changes back to a face because he got the snot beat out of him.
Oh, yes.
What a great swerve. Honestly.
It is. They were not expecting it. And you know, we've talked about this time and time again. There's no really nothing that will surprise people anymore with wrestling because of the internet and the way that social media is. Because back in the day, you know as well as I do, there was no internet. There was no people were talking, well, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. When we were watching Raw, what was the one thing that we were wanting to watch about Raw back in the day? We wanted to know what Vince was going to do to Austin, or what Austin was going to do to Vince.
Right.
Or what was The Undertaker going to do to Kane? We wanted to know. And we didn't know what was going to happen. Now, there's no surprises.
Yep.
There's nothing.
But this one surprised me.
Yes, I can understand that. Yes.
So that's why I loved it so much. But no, I hear you. They advertise, and AEW does this, and it drives me nuts. They'll advertise a new wrestler coming in.
Uh-huh.
Why not just bring him in? Let him run to the ring and attack the good guy or the bad guy and say, who is that? And then have Jim Ross say who it is. What's he doing here? And then have him grab the microphone and say, you know, here I am. I'm Miro, and I'm All Elite. Or I'm John Moxley, and I'm All Elite. They announce too many times that this wrestler's coming up. And WWE does that too.
They've done it too much. I mean, there's no surprises anymore. Like Keith Lee. They could have waited to do something with Keith Lee.
Uh-huh.
But now it's just, okay, he's here. Big deal, he's here. And what have they done to Keith Lee in AEW? Really not much of anything.
Yeah, it's got him into a little bit of a tag team with Swerve.
Yeah.
And then when they were doing the Casino Royale, Swerve knocked out Keith Lee. And Keith Lee, you know, was glaring at Swerve. Is that going to come into something? Who knows? But then last night on All Elite Wrestling, another swerve. Chris Jericho against Ortiz in a hair versus hair match. I love hair versus hair matches. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've seen it or have read the results or watched the highlights, but it was a really good swerve because, you, of course, you had the Jericho Appreciation Society, now in existence over 13 weeks. I love that part when they do that, when they're introducing. But anyway, they're doing this hair versus hair match. And, of course, you got the Jericho Appreciation Society. You got Eddie Kingston out there, and there's fighting going on. And you know, it's just a mess. All of a sudden, Eddie Kingston jumps in the ring and does his backhand on Chris Jericho. And I said, oh, my, they're going to cut Chris Jericho's hair. Uh-uh. He counts out just under three. He kicks out. Then a few minutes later, all of a sudden, here comes a masked man. Fuego del Sol, I think it is.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a smaller wrestler, and, you know, he's got the mask on, so everybody thought it was him. He jumps in the ring with Floyd, the baseball bat, and he cracks Ortiz over the head, and Chris Jericho wins the hair versus hair match. And they're going up the ramp, and Fuego pulls the mask off, and it's Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
Another swerve. I mean, they've tried so hard to get Sammy as maybe a face, and then this Ty Conti thing came up, and he was being a jerk. But him being a part of the Jericho Appreciation Society, I liked it. And I can't stand Sammy Guevara. I just don't like Sammy.
It was a real good swerve, and that's what they need. They need things where the internet is not going to screw this up for everybody, and that's what needs to be back into wrestling. And that's what wrestling needs.
Yeah.
We need somebody that we think he's a face or he's a heel, and then all of a sudden he turns and he's become this, you know, sensation, and the fans are behind him and they want to stay behind him. So, yeah. And to be honest with you, the biggest one that the fans turn on and turn off with, and you know this, is Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is a special case because he was with the Shield, and then he, you know, went to be a face, and it seemed like to wrestling fans, and even wrestlers will say this, that Roman was being forced down the throats of the fan.
Oh,
when they were really wanting him to be a different type of character, so they were turning on to Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this one. Another wrestler that was being forced down the throats of fans, and then he became a huge, huge superstar, was none other than The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's true.
If you have watched Young Rock,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that show is very, very good, very well put together. Of course, they take some liberties with, you know, having Jerry Lawler on commentary, and then he's into wrestling. And, you know, they didn't do that in Memphis. Jerry was very rarely on commentary.
That's what I was just about to ask you. When they did the Memphis, when he went to Memphis, how did that show turn out? Because I heard that it was back and forth, that they were, you know, telling some of the truth on the show, and they were making some stuff up.
Well, they had him being very good friends with Downtown Bruno, and living in Nashville, not living in Memphis, but talking about going to Lawler's company in Memphis, and also being with the Jarretts. And when they went to Memphis, they were doing studio wrestling. The studio set up for studio wrestling looked just like they did at Channel 5 in Memphis.
Oh, it looked great. I would have loved to have seen that.
It looked great. And then they just had Jerry Lawler as a commentator. It wasn't Dave Brown and Lance Russell or Dave Brown and whoever else was in the CW, whatever that wrestling organization they called it.
CWA?
Yeah.
CWA.
Yeah. But it was Lawler on commentary. And that's fine. That's called artistic license. But The Rock talked about this in his future self when he's running for president. It's very well done, the show. And he talked about how they felt like he was being forced down the throats of the WWE fans when he became Rocky Maivia, and you know, they started doing the Rocky Sucks chants.
Die, Rocky, die.
Yeah, and they came up with when Rocky came in, his dad saved him in a tag team match. They were still booing him.
Oh, yeah.
When did Dwayne Johnson become The Rock?
When he became with the Nation of Domination, and that's when Rocky Maivia just became The Rock.
Right. And a few years ago, I was at Salt Lake City, and Ron Simmons was there, the great Ron Simmons, talked to me a lot. And Simmons told me, as he autographed this picture for me, he said, I had to take The Rock aside and tell him to be himself and to learn. And eventually, he took over the leadership of the Nation of Domination, and that's when he really started doing those great promos. Take it back to Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Roman Reigns was being forced down the throats, and then I think they were getting ready to turn him heel, and that's when his leukemia came back.
Oh, yeah.
When he came back from his leukemia and he was well, the crowd accepted him. They loved him. But after a while, you started getting that buzz again. And it was pretty bad. And when they turned him heel and he became the champion again, I think that's who Roman Reigns should be. He's still being booed, but I think he's being booed as that character and as the man and being part of the bloodline. I don't think it's more of, we don't like you, Roman, as a performer.
Well, I can agree with that. And, I mean, the bloodline is starting to become stale a little bit. But if Roman Reigns has this Brock Lesnar contract, it's going to get boring and stale very quickly, just like Brock did.
One thing, though, on the bloodline that has been, to me, very entertaining has been Sammy.
Yeah.
When he's now saying that he's part of the bloodline or a special advisor to the bloodline, and his work at behind the microphone and in the ring has been stellar over the last year and a half, 2 years as a heel. I have loved his work so much, him and Kevin Owens both. And they're just absolutely two of my favorites right now with this storyline with Sammy wanting to be part of the bloodline and then failing at that. And Roman Reigns is going to beat him up. Just great stuff. And then Kevin Owens with the feud with Ezekiel. Is he a liar? Like Kevin Owens says, so funny. And then Ezekiel says that his brother Elias is coming back on Monday Night Raw. That, to me, is great storytelling.
It is.
And you know, Chris, I have complained and moaned and everything about Monday Night Raw and that three-hour show. The last two or three Monday Night Raws have been very well put together. Very good. So give them credit when credit is due.
Well, there was a rumor going around that what they were going to do was have Damian Sandow come back and become Elias.
I would love it.
But there's a problem. Damian Sandow has retired from professional wrestling. He did it on the last NWA, somewhat of a pay-per-view. From what he said, that this was his last match. But to me, if that's his last match and he's going to go off and ride in the sunset, why now? Could the WWE say, we have an idea now. Let's bring Damian Sandow back. And because, let's face it, Damian Sandow has the features somewhat of Elias.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
And he's talented.
And he's talented as all get out. That would be perfect. You got Ezekiel and you got Damian Sandow standing side by side. That would be the biggest swerve of all time.
And then you could have Kevin Owens saying, "That's a lie. That's Damian Sandow." That, you know.
Yes.
And they could continue on. I would love it if that happens, but I'm going to wait and see how they're going to do Monday night. I don't know. I just hope they don't do it with Elias, you know, with a fake beard. And I just hope they don't do it stupidly. You know, I hope they have somebody that can do it.
Well, you know, the WWE, if they're going to do something stupid, that's what they'll probably have it done.
True.
And it's going to be dumb, but they're milking it for what it's worth. And I'm sorry, when they took the beard off of Elias, and now I'm Ezekiel, I rolled my eyes.
Yeah, I will.
I'm like, come on, really? We know this is Elias. And he looked like he looked awful without that beard. He looked awful. And I mean, but it was a good storyline. Let's have it. Elias and Ezekiel are going to be standing side by side. And then Kevin Owens, he just loses his mind over this. It's perfect.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Hats off to Kevin Owens for the ring work and the mic work that he's doing right now. It's perfect. He's milking this, and it's good.
I don't think any other wrestler could pull it off other than Kevin. But, yeah. I really don't. And did you see the one where he said that his older brother was going to show up as Ken Owens, and he just put on this really bad-looking wig?
Yeah.
I almost spit out my milk through my nose. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but let's face it. Kevin Owens, he is a hell of a heel. And he's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. And he was a good Universal Champion. And, I mean, Kevin Owens, they're using him as comic relief right now. And Kevin's career is not coming to an end, but it's almost there.
Oh, yeah. He's got a few more years left. So.
But how much longer can Kevin go? I mean, he's doing everything he can. He's getting his money. And he's collecting everything he can.
Yep.
And I give the man credit. He's put up with a lot
with
Ring of Honor and the indie circuit and then with the WWE.
Did you realize that Kevin Owens grew up speaking French and not English?
Yes, I understood that.
And he speaks perfect English.
Yes.
He has no accent.
Nope.
I'm just surprised because I know how hard it is to do accents and to hear him talk. You know, never guess he grew up speaking French, so... I think one of the real pros in the industry right now is KO, Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen in ROH, and yeah, a lot of fun. So, Chris, it's been more than a pleasure again. We've had some laughs. We talked about some very serious stuff, but as always, we try to hopefully be entertaining, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun, and let me break off by saying if you get onto the Facebook page, I want you to watch one segment that I put on there. Even you need to see them boys go that were on their own farm. And who was it that was on there with them? It was the
Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows.
I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the most entertaining thing I have seen in a while. It's with the father there. And he put on one heck of a show, and the boys did too. It was fun to watch because them boys, I don't care what anybody has to say, that is tag team.
Yep.
And they are entertaining, and it was a good segment. I liked it.
And congratulations to the new AEW Tag Team Champions. The Young Bucks are back to the championship level after a swerve by Christian. Yes, he attacks Jungle Boy.
And congratulations to the new NWA, two-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Murdoch. He won the championship again because Matt Cordona, whatever the heck his name is, his bicep was torn. He could not defend the Fatal 4-Way, which one of the NXT wrestlers was a part of the Fatal 4-Way with Nick Adonis, and he had two tattoos. His arms were both sleeved up pretty dark. His hair was like a crew cut blonde. He was real big, And he had that marriage. He had that big marriage in NXT before they cut
him. Oh, yeah. Dexter Lumis.
Dexter. He's got a new name now. But Dexter was in the championship match. The match was back and forth. It was
the belt.
Why put the belt back on Murdoch? He doesn't look like a wrestler.
He's a hefty young man.
I say that he is the version of Harley Race of this generation.
But you know what? What might be the reason why they put it back is, and it goes back to what I'm thinking about Eddie Kingston. I think Eddie Kingston is going to eventually become the AEW champion because they want an everyman. And what Trevor Murdoch is, an everyman.
So, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But it's been real fun to get back onto the podcast again. We had a blast today. We've had laughs. Hopefully one of these days our co-host, when he has the time, and we could do a fatal three-way here, and we can actually have a real good conversation with all three of us. But I know he's busy, and it'll work out eventually. And I do want to wish the NK Bandit real quick, if he does hear this podcast, sir, you're doing a heck of a job. I keep seeing you on Facebook all the time. You're going place to place, and you're doing wonderful work out there. To the NK Bandit, you're doing a heck of a job. Keep it up, my man.
Yep. All right, Chris, I'm going to close this out the way Zane usually does, because it is a wonderful time to be a wrestling fan.
Yes, sir.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Okay, we're going to count it down. 3, 2, 1.
I'm back in the saddle again.
I'm back, Dave.
Steven Tyler, you ain't, my man. Joining me right now is one of my favorite people in the entire North Carolina region. No, in the entire world.
I don't know why I said that. smoke hemp or, I don't know, what can we smoke? Can we smoke anything?
I'd rather smoke ribs. You put me some ribs down there with some Memphis dry rub and a little barbecue sauce on the side, get myself a little bit of coleslaw.
It is hotter than a meth pipe on payday.
Yeah, we're just goofballs.
That's right. I'm one of them old-timers.
Here we complain about the WWE on the left hand, and then we praise them on the right.
Except to look at the crowd going, hello, it's me, hello.
There's way to announce it, you moron.
The guy that, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. Let me do
Dave and Zane a chance. Just to book one Raw. That's it. That's all we ask for.
Really? Yeah. Not much of anything.
So I don't know. Was it real or was it a work or was it?
Or was it Memorex?
Money.
That's right. Money makes the world go round. And my world is pretty flat. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, the WWE, if they're going to do something stupid, that's what they'll probably have it done.
I almost spit out my milk through my nose. I don't know what the heck happened.